Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
John Callahan is best known for his outrageous single-panel cartoons. But he's exploring other media, like television. He's got a new animated TV series on Nickelodeon called Pelswick. John Callahan told Steve Paulson why he created the show.
Well, I had been drawing cartoons, you know, single-panel cartoons for many years. And, you know, under the name of Callahan, my regular strip name, and the kids come up and ask me constantly, you know, about the experience of being in a wheelchair. And finally, I had, you know, just so many little questions, like, you know, is your girlfriend paralyzed too? Or do you sleep in the wheelchair? Do you feel it if a shark bites your legs or something? And I decided to just create a character that sort of took away the mystery.
So you wanted to do something realistic?
Yeah, I want to do something. It's realistic, but it's very out there cartoon-wise also.
You have another animated TV series, don't you? Quads?
Yeah, Quads. It was originally called When Quads Won't Leave, and Dan Aykroyd told me I should shorten it to Quads, which I think was a good move. But it's in Canada. It's playing in Canada now. We're hoping to get it into America soon.
What's that series about?
It's a little bit more adult-oriented. It has to do with characters that I've used in my cartoons over the years that are disabled and messed up in different ways. One of them is one of the characters has got hooks for hands. Another one is paralyzed. Another one is like a disembodied head on a skateboard. Another one is a guy that claims to be blind and black but not musical. And so there's several of them. They all live together. They were run over by a rich fellow in Beverly Hills and paralyzed and messed up. And he, out of guilt, bought them a mansion next door to himself in a wealthy town. And the rest of it is like, you know, they're leeching off and bugging him.
There's some of these characters I recognize from old cartoons you've done, like the guy who was blind and black but not musical. Didn't you get a lot of hate mail when that cartoon came out?
I think I got a certain amount, but, you know, most people that I know that were black complimented me on the cartoon. They thought it was funny. It's in tradition of the Stevie Wonder and mm-hmm. Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Wasn't the cartoon a blind black beggar is holding out a cup and he has this mm-hmm. sign saying, please help me, I am blind and black, but not musical?
Yeah, that was a joke, yeah.
Do you feel like you're pushing the line there at times?
Well, I don't really feel like it. I feel like in a lot of ways I feel like a fairly good-hearted person, but I was just born without that little editor in your brain, you know? Yeah. I leave it up to newspapers to edit me, but it's real tough to constrict yourself, get too involved with political correctness. I don't think it's good to set about just to insult people, but it's okay to just be funny. And if you can take the responsibility, if you can take the heat, you know, I got thick skin, I guess.
Do you have editors who sometimes pull your cartoons because they consider them offensive?
Well, mostly over the years, they don't seem to pull my cartoons. I mean, I've had some horror stories over the years in the larger daily papers around the world where people have pulled me, but it's been fairly seldom.
Give me one or two examples of that, of cartoons that were considered beyond the pale.
I think once in the Miami Herald, which I was in the Sunday Miami Herald for many years, they hired me to be outrageous for the paper and to sort of do outrageous cartoons, but I did one on Martin Luther King, who's one of my heroes. But they claim they accidentally let it get by the editor, and they published, tens of thousands of newspapers, and then they had to stop the press, round up all the papers that were on the street, and then, you know, edit the cartoon out and reprint another one and start the press again and reissue the paper.
What was in that cartoon?
Martin Luther King, at the age of 13, is he's talking to his mother, and he's sort of indicating to the bed sheet, which is stained. He's saying, I had a dream.
I can see why that wouldn't go over in some circles.
But I went on to the radio shows in Miami and talked about it. I've had good feedback on it eventually.
Now, you're also not shy about poking fun at people with disabilities. Do you take a particular delight in that?
Well, not really. It's just, I think, and I just hate to use the M word, metaphor, but it seems like kind of a metaphoric for life, the disability thing. It's like, to me, and I hate it when people say, oh, everybody's got their own disability. Everybody's disabled in one way or another. But, you know, and it's true. So, I mean, you know, people recognize themselves in these cartoons, whether it's about a guy that's blind or paralyzed or someone who's anorexic or, you know, the subject of divorce or death.
But I get the feeling that you get kind of ticked off at all the talk about victimization because someone, I don't know, has lost the use of his legs, that therefore he is a victim.
You know, my website is popular because so many people love the angry. I have hundreds of angry letters that have come to me over the years. And, you know, everything from Sally Struthers' agent to different people who have expressed, but it's invariably people that do not, you know, have the disability or have the dilemma, that write these protective cartoons saying, you know, we need to be really sensitive. And it's, you're going to sensitive people right to death in this country, you know.
How do you feel about the portrayals of people with disabilities in movies and on TV?
Well, I think they're getting better. I mean, they're being more accurate now. You see people on the front of the Wheaties box or something, and disabilities of people. I mean, that's almost obnoxious. There's disabled people climbing mountains in wheelchairs and iron lungs and blind people sailing and, you know, and everything has got to be accessible. And it's almost, I'm afraid the general public is going to turn against disabled people and drive them out of the country. They're getting too much of a presence.
Keep them down. Put them under wraps.
It's time to reoppress them.
Well, I have to ask about the movie that I understand is being made out of your autobiography. Don't worry, mm-hmm. He won't get far on foot. Robin Williams is going to be starring in it. Is that right?
Yeah, Robin Williams is going to play me, and it's going to be directed by Gus Van Sant, and the screenplay is written by Patty Sullivan. And so it's moving along. You know, I just don't know. You know, they always say, well, when we get a window of opportunity. But I go down to San Francisco and go to California and visit the people and visit Robin and become friends with him. And
I know there's some controversy about able-bodied actors portraying disabled people. And I'm curious if you see that as a problem. Obviously, Robin Williams is not disabled.
Well, I wouldn't want to see him go out and purposely break his back just to play the part correctly, but I'm not that squidgy about having people, you know, who are not disabled play the part. You know, I mean, God forbid that they should have the reverse of it, but I just hope people don't start rumors that my little cartoon character, Pelswick, on Nickelodeon isn't really, you know, disabled.
Do you see that as a problem, though, and in other media portrayals, that it tends to be able-bodied people who play people with disabilities?
Well, I think it's changing, and I think it's healthy. It gets so rigid that political correctness enters in there, where you have to be a Jew to play a Jew, or you have to be an Irishman to play an Irishman. Come on, you know, people can play different parts. It's called acting, you know?
Now, you did a cartooning guide called How to Relate to Handicapped People. Can you tell me about that and what motivated you to create that?
Well, I was just challenged by the editor one day, one of the editors of a newspaper, to come up with that because people are so afraid of a wheelchair. I don't think they are now. I mean, people are more used to, and I don't know. I think it's just because of the virtue of the publishing of that guide that I drew. But it's just the people. You see more and more disabled presence, and you, in fact, 20 you know, when years ago when I was paralyzed in California and L.A., people would take the walk a long way around you and avert their eyes and walk on eggshells around you. Now people are very at home. I mean, they don't look twice at you. And I was waiting in line at a movie the other day. The kids are sitting on my wheels in my chair, lounging around on me. It's like, you know, oh, God, not another quad, you know? Things have changed.
Really? These kids you didn't even know and they were just sitting on your wheelchair?
Yeah. You know, it's almost like, you know, too familiar, you know? I'd go back to the old Elephant Man days, you know? There's a certain mystique you have when you're, you know, considered a horrible pariah. I kind of miss the days.
You might be able to get some extra mileage out of that.
I still refer to myself as an invalid.
But that's an interesting question, whether it would be okay to do these cartoons if you're not paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think let the artist beware. I mean, whatever you, it seems like if you can, I have no idea how that works. Why a person can get away with it when they're disabled. I mean, it seems like anybody should be able to draw anything about disabled people and be, or any other subject, but it just doesn't work that way. You've got, apparently have to have the experience.
So that wouldn't offend you if you came across someone else who did that kind of cartoon and had no personal experience?
I don't think it would offend me. I don't see how it would. I mean, it seems like fair game. If the person, it wouldn't personally offend me. I can see how it would offend other people, but I mean, what happens someday if I reveal the fact that I'm not really paralyzed and I've just done it as a gag to get away with murder as a cartoonist? I mean, that would be funny, wouldn't it? I mean, if I come out in a year and say, ah, ha, 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 I've never been paralyzed. I'm just doing it for a gig to have leverage as a cartoonist. I mean, maybe I will do that. Maybe I'm not really paralyzed.
Oh, okay. Well, keep us on our toes. Do you?
Only my acupuncturist knows for sure.
Are you trying to provoke outrage with your work?
No, I don't really. But, you know, there are some people or some groups that are a little bit more humorless and fun to pop the bubble on than other groups. And, you know, they're just a little bit, you know, whether it's the way you're talking about the far right or the far left, but some of these victim-y groups are just so fun to lower the bomb on. I mean, you just can't resist once in a while. I allow myself the option once a year to draw. But usually I draw just what's funny. But also, funny to me is politically incorrect.
John Callahan is a cartoonist whose autobiography is called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. He talked with Steve Paulson.